Das ist Fintech and Beyond von EY, Financial Services Deutschland. Der Podcast für alle, die am Fintech-Startup-Ökosystem und der Digitalisierung der Finanzdienstleistungsbranche in Deutschland und Europa interessiert sind.
Welcome to the latest episode of the EY Fintech and Beyond podcast, your go-to source for all things related to fintechs and the transformation of the financial services industry. Today we are reporting from a very special place, the Digital Euro Conference, live from Frankfurt School of Finance and Management, hosted by the Digital Euro Association. Amidst the vibrant energy of this unique event, we went out to capture the thoughts, impressions and expectations of visitors and exhibitors over the course of the day. The aim of this conference is to explore the latest developments on the digital euro, central bank digital currencies, stablecoins and to commercial bank money. Gain valuable insights into how these innovative technologies are shaping the future of money. Hear from industry leaders, experts and policymakers as they discuss the impact of these technologies on the economy and society. Join us on the journey through the Digital Euro Conference as we discover inspiring perspectives, innovative ideas and pioneering solutions. Let's explore the latest trends and advancements on the digital euro, CBDCs, stablecoins and tokenization commercial bank money. So get ready for an exciting episode of EY Fintech and Beyond. My name is Anna Lange from EY Germany Fintech team, and I'm now looking for exciting discussion partners at the Digital Euro Conference. The sound quality and corresponding background noises may not be quite optimal in some places, but we want to try to convey the mood and atmosphere of the conference in the best possible way. Have fun and let's go. Hi, Sarah. Could you please introduce yourself and who you are, which company you work for, and what you do here at the DEC today?
Certainly. I am Sarah Polarovich from the Digital Euro Association. I am a strategic advisor with them, and we are organizing the Digital Euro Conference that is taking place today.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you very much. Mainly interested here today about the digital euro. Could you perhaps tell us a little bit from your perspective, what are the main benefits of a digital euro?
It's a great question. I think the advantages that are claimed to be existing from the European Central Bank's side of view are very much debatable. From my perspective, there is no necessary need for a digital euro for the currency union that we have in Europe.
Yeah, that's actually quite interesting. And could you perhaps elaborate a little bit more? Why would you come to that conclusion from a point of view?
Well, based on the legislative draft that we have, some of the things such as programmable payments, which would arguably turn money into a voucher and those things, there's definitely arguments against that. But that is essentially where some of the exciting use cases would be, not necessarily with the programmability itself, but if a digital euro would support things such as smart contracts, for example, that's what would be of actual added value as compared to existing payment schemes that we already have. The risk is also that if the digital euro is being focused on, that other payment rails and initiatives from the European Central Bank are going to be put on the back burner a little bit. So those aren't going to be worked on as much. For example, wholesale CBDCs and all the cross-border payment schemes that are being talked about and that are actually carrying more of the volume that is being moved from point A to B around the world every day, which is more than retail payments would ever be. So I think that's an interesting focus to lay on the retail CBDC for now.
Yeah, definitely. I think what also is interesting for me to understand is, would you say from your point of view, if this digital euro would come into place, if it would be very successful here in Germany?
Great question. Let me give you a little bit of context, possibly. So I'm based in Stockholm right now, and that means the society in Sweden has completely accepted the role of the central bank. all data basically is transparent. You can look up what people are making, you can look up where people live, you are registered, and everything is linked to your personal number. Mm-hmm. So there's a different level of transparency when it comes to the data that is tied to your person as compared to Germany. And Germans have always been very big on data security, very, very big. So indeed, I actually think that Germany is one of the hardest countries to break into. And from my perspective, that's where some of the more skeptical voices around the digital euro are definitely loudest, is actually in Germany, if you look at social media, for example.
Yeah, that's certainly true. So Sarah, could you perhaps tell us, like, who's here today? Like, what is the kind of target audience you're trying to basically engage here, to get into discussions, to exchange ideas and knowledge?
Yeah, certainly. I would say the type of person attending DEC varies very much, but there's definitely some main target groups that we have here, and that we luckily don't just have as target groups, but as actual attendees. So anything ranging from decision makers such as the German Supervisory Authority for Finances, BaFin, some of the bigger banks, some of the bigger names like Lloyds Bank, Deutsche Bank, Bundesbank, and so on. So all those involved in the Digital Euro project. But then beyond that, we also have international central banks, for example, representatives from the Central Bank of the Bahamas are here today with a live CBDC project. So it's great to get all of these together at a table, and then that's complemented by industry leaders that are coming in, some of the biggest firms in the space that are currently moving into it, such as SAP, so definitely some of the German representatives of the industry, but then also people from all over the place, such as Fireblox, Intellect EU, SDX, and so on and so forth.
Amazing. Well, I think that's actually great, and I think it also evolved over the last year, right? From the first kind of conference you had, and to see now who's here today, and how, kind of like how it matured, right? So that's really amazing to see. Great.
Certainly.
Yeah, perfect. And thanks a lot, Sarah.
Thank you.
Very nice to meet you. Perhaps you can introduce yourself quickly and what brings you here today to the conference.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Amitabh Saxena. I'm the managing director and head of product for an innovation consultancy called Digital Disruptions. Mm-hmm. And we've been looking at how to increase end user adoption for CBDCs and other forms of digital currency for the last 2.5 years.
Perfect. It sounds amazing. Perhaps you can share with us, like, what exactly you're looking for today. Like, is it more the panels, the discussions on it, or just kind of connect here with other like-minded people?
Yeah, certainly looking to connect with a number of different, functional experts. I think we're particularly interested in understanding how different jurisdictions in the UK and Europe, but also some other countries like, you know, Bahamas, Turkey, and others are thinking about how they're formulating CBDC or other kind of stablecoin adoption. Mm-hmm. We are particularly interested in how they are looking at how to ensure end user adoption versus just simply building out a technology platform or just kind of instituting policy.
Perfect. Thank you very much. That was amazing.
Okay.
Perfect. So nice to meet you, Jan. Would you like to introduce yourself and the company you're working for?
Yeah, I'm Jan from Monerium. And Monerium is an e-money company or e-money institution that issues e-money tokens, the euro on-chain. And we were the first to get the license in 2019, before it was a thing with the European Central Bank. So when we talk about the digital euro, we refer to regular euros, not necessarily CBDC.
Thank you very much. So perhaps you can tell us a little bit more what brings you here today to the DEC and what you're actually looking for here at the conference.
Well, I'm a speaker here at the conference. I'm speaking with some banks, someone from the EI and JP Morgan and Lloyds as well. So we're discussing the future of money, whether it's e-money tokens or whether it's stable coins or tokenized deposits.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you very much, Jan. From your perspective, when we talk about the digital euro, what would you say are some key benefits?
There are many benefits. And the major benefits in my mind is that it is a better instrument if it's an e-money token. And it allows you basically to interact with your peers without the intermediation of a bank. I think that is a big thing. And Europe has been fortunate enough to basically lead in this front to regulate how this should be done. And I think it has benefits of lowering cost, increasing security, and also increasing financial stability.
Thank you very much. What would you say are some like key challenges in terms of a digital euro if it comes into place?
Well, I think it's the key challenge is basically the system that we have currently. It just takes time to change things because we have an infrastructure for payments, and we also have an infrastructure with regards to how the system is basically being ruled. We have 50,000 people working at the European Central Bank, 50,000 people that are basically making sure that the banking system is operating according to the old system, and it takes time to change it. So I think that's, shall we say, inertia that we have.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Jon. That was amazing. Nice to meet you. Perhaps you can introduce yourself first and what company you're working for. And what brings you here today to the conference?
Yeah, my name is Thomas Hartmann. I'm an associate partner with IBM Consulting and have been in the payment industry for over 3 decades now. And of course, the digital euro is of course the major innovation that hasn't happened in 30 years. So these are very exciting times to be here and to see what the digital euro will change and what maybe will not change or shouldn't change.
So from your perspective, thinking about the digital euro, if it comes into place, what would you say are the main benefits of such a digital euro?
Yeah. Of course, there's the opportunity to create something new for the entire Eurozone or all of Europe. Yeah. And that, of course, is an opportunity to really come to a more uniform landscape, given the still fragmented landscape that we have, even over 10 years after the introduction of SEPA. That's, of course, is an opportunity, but that also needs to be taken into account, that we don't start from the level field that many have proposed ever since SEPA was invented. So that's kind of the opportunity and the challenge at the same time. We can create something that's maybe a bit more uniform, but we need to take into account the still different traditions and usage patterns that we have across the Eurozone and across Europe.
Yeah, definitely. Thinking about the digital euro from like when it comes to design, basically, what would you say is important? How should the digital euro be designed, so to say?
Yeah, I think, and also picking up from the voices we heard, like from Banque de France, that if it's supposed to be a banknote in digital form, and that's kind of an image that I like, and that's really also the core what the central bank community across Europe is trying to put forward to really come from this guiding thought and see what it means. And I think one of the key features in the design for the end user would be privacy, cash-like privacy. What does it mean in practice? And I think that will be also one of the key deciding factors in the design. Does the end user trust in the privacy model? Is it transparent enough for the end users that they say, well, that's really a good digital equivalent of cash, and that would be one of the main drivers why I use it, because anything digital is not really tangible, so not really visible. And so I would even say the perceived privacy of the digital euro will be a very key factor. And just to say, it's as private as a current credit card payment probably wouldn't cut it, because then we would not have a digital banknote. So I think that's one of the key considerations in the design, that we have a privacy that's really, I would say tangible, but it's digital, in the perception of the end user is really good and better than maybe the traditional banking means of payments that we have today.
Perfect for the insights there. Just perhaps a last question, like talking about some challenges, what would you say personally or from the view of IBM, let's say, is one of the most prominent challenges right now being discussed?
Yeah, I think, well, the overall challenge is, of course, the overall design and implementation of such a complex IT project. But for now, we're still in the phase where the legislation needs to be detailed out, and ECB will continue to work on the different components and see how this breaks down. And I think in the current phase, that's the true challenge, that we get a framework from the legislation that's flexible enough. But everybody's understanding is also that the implementation will not need to cover the entire frame that the legislation sets, but really starts out with parts that provide a good value proposition for everybody in the euro area, and having enough, let's say, leg room in the legislative space to really have this work grow and evolve, because in my mind, the legislation ideally shouldn't be changed every 2 or 3 years, but provide a framework that's stable enough and allows growth and evolution of the digital euro for like the next 10 years.
Yeah. Perfect. Thanks a lot for the insights provided. Very, very valuable. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, hi, nice to meet you. Could you perhaps introduce yourself and what company are you working for?
Yeah, sure. My name is Jacob Sievers. I'm CEO of Gorilla Funds. Mm-hmm. We are a company building right now some sort of paper for digital securities. And we are also building very cool stuff for on-chain asset management.
sounds amazing. What brings you here today to the Digital Euro Conference?
I want to meet the CEO of Monerium because we're using their systems, and this is just awesome. We can send money from a normal bank account into a smart contract within seconds. Mm-hmm. And this will change so much because the speed of these transactions is so much faster than anything out there.
And do you have like any panel or keynote speak which you're very looking forward to?
No.
Great. I mean, I think it's a great conference to also just connect and network. So
exactly.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy the day today, and talk soon. Bye bye. Nice to meet you. What is your name and what brings you here today to the DC?
Hi, nice to meet you too. My name is Caroline Göllner. I'm a lawyer in banking and regulation in Berlin from the law firm Linden Partners. Mm-hmm. We advise banks as well as fintechs, that we have a strong focus on digital topics. So that's why we're also interested in the digital euro. We have been a bit skeptic about the evolution around the digital euro and the necessity for especially retail customers. So now, today I'm here in order to understand better what is the interest of the digital euro, and also to see what could potential impacts for our clients be for banks and fintechs.
Perfect. That sounds really amazing. Do you have any panel which you would like to attend, or is it specific, like that you say, I know there are certain experts here today you would like to talk to?
To be honest, not really. I had a look at the agenda this morning, and since I'm not an expert on digital currencies or on central bank digital currencies yet, I'm just here to take it all in and learn about everything.
Perfect. All right. Thank you very much, and then enjoy the day today.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Alexandre, you can introduce yourself and what company you're working for.
Yeah, I'm the CEO of Monet. We are a fintech. We're a Spanish PSP, fully regulated by Banco de España, Bank of Spain. And basically I'm the CEO and I manage most of the things there.
Sounds interesting. So what brings you here today to the conference? What are you looking for?
Well, engage with stakeholders around the digital euro and stable coins, and be on top of the edge in new approaches, understanding the what's going on in the society around the digital euro overall.
Mm-hmm. What is your perspective? What would you say, where does the digital euro stand at the moment?
It depends from which angle you do the question. I would say Technology-wise, it's still in the early stages. There is lots of things to be analyzed and to be decided and to be studied.
Mm-hmm.
Then from the political / macro conceptual angle, I think that even that the society is not aware, there is a high pressure from outside the EU countries delivering and with products already or services or digital currencies in the market already.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that from that perspective, where everything is gone pretty fast in the last, I would say, 24 months.
Yeah. And if we perhaps think a little bit about the use cases of a digital euro, what would you think is the most prominent or the most successful use case and why?
From our standpoint and from our perspective, we see a lot of potential for the SMBs and for the companies and for the private usage for any means of the real digitization of payments around the what companies do with getting paid and paying to their providers. So I think that the real power within digital euro is technically wise is for the companies. Then there is another aspect, which is the safety of having a central bank digital euro or European Central Bank issued digital euro. In that scenario, society is going to be much safer because the funds were going to be issued by European Central Bank. Those apparently and mathematically, the funds of the society are going to be much safer than being held in a private company, which is the actual banks we work with today.
Okay, thank you very much for the insights, and have a great day. Enjoy the conference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Would you like to introduce yourself and what company you're working for?
Actually, I'm working for Think Tank Business Solution. We are located in Germany in Munich, in Switzerland in Zurich, and the production is located in Tunis.
Mm-hmm. And your name again?
My name is Sarah Rinschler-Gerloff, and so with Digital Euro, I have some association. I have worked for my former company. I was DXC Technology. Mm-hmm. There I have worked as a practice partner and for Digital Assets in Custody. And with them, we have practice by a lot of CBC projects in Georgia, in mm-hmm. Kazakhstan, in Bank of England, and CBUIE, mm-hmm. and a lot of more. Right.
Great. Yes. So, what exactly brings you here today to the conference? You're looking for like some like-minded experts, some like panel discussions you are looking for, or just like networking?
It is a mix of. This is a mix of to doing networking, because mm-hmm. here I meet a lot of people where I meet only remote.
Yeah.
And now here we have discussions face-to-face, and this is more better instead of remote. On the other hand, for me, it was just, let me say, very important to know what is, let me say, the actually points what we like to discuss, because I'm also I'm leading also the working group by the Bundesblock and the Digital Euro working group, and with them we have created in the 2023 some positions papers, discussion papers, and so on. And today I see we are stuck.
Okay.
And this is, for me, let me say, a little bit frustrated.
Yeah.
Because we are discussing on the same points as we have discussed last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask me why. And we are discussing on points where we always discussing, but we are not, let me say, what is the right word? We are not ready to change our mind, to change our views, and to let me say, creating other solutions based on this.
Okay, so what do you think is needed to change that?
What is needed to change us firsthand, what we need, and this is not only depend for the digital euro, we need a standardization on the level zero. Because everybody's talking about interoperability, but nobody. Asking some people here who has practice in interoperability. So I have practice in 6 projects. I have worked with Enbridge, I have worked with Saddle, and so on. I have worked with Dummel, and I see this is not the way what we should go, right? Because interoperability is not only on the technical side. Interoperability means that we also must be ready to talk about our interoperability in the level 3 in the business field. And then we need a standardization on the last, like similar to SQL, to the relational databases, where we have started in the 90s with the databases, we don't have had any standardization. So we have had the same challenges as today we have with the blockchain and DLT. And then we have created the SQL standard. And so look, today it is easy to have exchange from database to database. And this we don't have, because the world in a peer-to-peer network is very complex. Right, and so we have to think about, if you talk about CBDC, not only for the digital euro, we have to think about how we can, let me say, structure this business that is independent from the technology. This is an important point. And if you don't be ready for this, we are always stuck in the same parts, in the same discussions.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that was very, very insightful. And have a great day. Nice to meet you. Perhaps you can first introduce yourself and your position, where you're working, and what basically brings you here today to the conference.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Klaus Gorge. I'm working for DZ Bank in the transaction banking department, and I'm responsible for building the tokenized deposit token, it's called CBMT in our jargon. Yep. And of course, I'm here. This is one of the most interesting conferences around, if it comes to digital euro, tokenized deposits, and so on.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit more about the current status of the CBMT, your perspective, and where you think it's going to in the future.
Currently, we are conducting a proof of concept with some industry partners and some banks, and we are trying to show that the CBMT really works as commercial big money from a functional point of view as well as from a regulatory point of view. And this is about to close in a few months, and we will probably have the result. Yeah, it's going to work. It would be a viable solution to the problems of the industry.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are some key challenges you're facing, in case you're allowed to somehow say?
There's no secret. It would be a very big change to the monetary system, how we handle commercial bank money. And of course, commercial bank money is heavily regulated, so you need a proper regulation. We don't have a perfect regulation right now, so we do not only have to show that it works from a technical perspective. This is the least problem, mm-hmm. in my opinion, with the technical perspective. But you have to convince people, you have to convince your customers, you have to convince the legislators, you have to convince the regulators, the authorities. And it's not easy. It's not easy because it's really fundamentally different from what we are doing today. And also the problem is that most people just look at the money but not at the regulation around it. For example, know your customer, anti-money laundering, and you get questions, okay, now you have tokenized deposits, how do I do anti-money laundering? It must work as today, mm-hmm. is the answer from them, or they requested it must work today. This is not natural. If you look, we are having a token, we are having a blockchain, we have a perfect record of all data, which cannot be altered, and I wouldn't suggest that we do anti-money laundering as we do it today with our commercial bank, because we have much better possibilities due to the new technology.
Yeah.
So it's a huge topic. It's just huge.
Perfect. And perhaps just a little bit more from a personal perspective. How did you come across it? You said, okay, well, this is the topic CBMT, where I really want to work in now. And like, I guess because you said also like technical angle.
Some customers called us. Mm-hmm. Some customers called us and said, hey, okay, this doesn't work for us any longer. The money you offer, the commercial bank money to this firm just doesn't work for us anymore. And we want money on chain. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any proper money on chain. That was it.
Easy as that.
Easy as that, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I think that was very insightful. Thanks a lot, Klaus.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
All right, nice to meet you. Perhaps you can introduce yourself and what company you're working for, what position, and what brings you here today to the conference.
Hi, my name is Polly Boimler. It's a pleasure to speak with you today and to meet you at the conference. I work for a company called Giesecke & Devrient. It's a hidden champion, I would say. We've been around for 170 years. The bulk of our business lies within the cash cycle, banknote, security features, but we've expanded beyond that and taking the focus from public currency into the digital space. So we are working with central bank digital currencies and work really closely with central banks on getting them started on this very long and exciting journey. So it's really interesting to see how the ECB is progressing with the digital euro, and that's what brings me here today.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds very interesting. And obviously keen to understand a little bit more, like when it comes to the digital euro, from your perspective, what would you say is kind of the key challenge to overcome that such a digital euro comes into play, so like will be adopted?
I think that is the key challenge, is successful adoption. Mm-hmm. I think there needs to be a lot of communication and education in place. There are a lot of myths and misconceptions around CBDC in general, and of course digital euro. And I think it's really important for people to understand it is distinctive to what we have today, to our digital payments today. You know, everything is done by the private sector with profit-driven incentives. And as we are heading more into the digital world and cash is becoming less accepted, there is that challenge of, how do we provide a safe public currency in the digital space? And I think it's really important that people understand that. Not everyone is as privileged to have bank accounts and smartphones and have that the financial literacy to be able to transact digitally. And it's important to have for the central banks or the ECB to maintain their role to provide a safe and secure form of payments for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you for that. Taking it a little bit more, we talk now about the key challenges. If you would think now about the digital euro in, let's say, other countries, since there are some role models, so to speak, what would you say could we learn from that? Just like seeing perhaps from other countries how they are thinking about such a payment method, let's say?
Yes, absolutely. I think what's really interesting to see is that in a lot of other jurisdictions, they don't have this. They see it really as a platform for innovation. For mm-hmm. example, the Bank of Thailand, we did a pilot with them, and they really see it as the foundation for the future financial system. And they see it really as a catalyst for innovation. We see that it's also not crowding out any existing payment systems. So, for example, in Brazil, with the Pix instant payment, I mean, that has been, I would say, kind of an uber success story, but yet they are still investigating and exploring and moving very aggressively with the Drex, with the digital real. And it's because, there is that last mile that the existing payment systems can't fully cover. And this is really where a digital form of public currency can come into play and really kind of close that gap a bit.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much for taking the time, and hope you have a great day here today at the conference.
Yeah, wonderful. Wish you the same. Thank you so much.
Yeah, nice meeting you. Perhaps you can quickly introduce you to the audience. Who are you and what company you're working for and what brought you here today to the conference?
Nice to meet you. My name is Roman Hattinger. I am a senior business analyst at Giesecke & Devrient. My role is related to analysis regarding digital currencies. I am involved in the consultancies with focus on CBDC, but also other types of digital money.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. What brought you here basically today? Did you have anything on your agenda? What was most interesting for you to see? And yeah, perhaps you can just give us some insights.
I would say the first observation that the conference is growing. So congratulations to the association team and the whole community around Digital Europe. More people and a more diverse audience. So I really see the Europe-wide approach. Second, regarding the key takeaways. Well, there is more activity because we have the MiCA regulation, we have the tender announcement from the ECB, so everyone was very excited. Yeah, and I mean, this really warms up all these discussions. One takeaway, what I heard regarding the discussion of the compensation model, the fee model for the digital euro, which is one of the most complicated topics, I would say, in the context of adoption, is the example of UPI in India or PIX, where non-banks are involved into the ecosystem, so they really suggest non-payment services except payment services, and we can see the results. So I don't say that this is the one and the only tip, but one of the things that I really remembered.
Perfect. I think that's great. These kind of insights. Talking a little bit more about the digital euro, would you say what basically is needed that it's going to be a success? Like what you heard also from today, because I think we had different perspectives today on the panels and discussions. So what would you say would it take?
I would say that the components of the successful digital euro first is the arranged legal and regulatory framework, and we see that this is moving, and we see the progress. Second is the collaboration between the public and private players, and this is a great example we see today that the private players are involved. But also this killer use case or killer feature, which really would make this payment instrument more efficient and stronger than the others. I would say the offline capability, which was mentioned today, in my understanding, is a good example of such a killer feature. But this is what is definitely needed.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I think that was a great insight, and also thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. Yeah, nice to meet you. Perhaps you can quickly introduce yourself, your name, what company you're working for, and what brings you here today to the DC.
Yes, thanks for asking me to give a feedback to the event here. So I'm Peter Großkopf. I actually have a technical background, but ended up in the finance industry for the past 10 years. So how I call started in CFI, in TradFi, migrated over CFI into DeFi. So I co-founded Solaris Bank as a CTO, so which was the TradFi business. Then worked for Börse Stuttgart Digital Exchange and built up the first regulated crypto exchange and digital assets exchange in Germany. And for the past 2.5 years, we're working on Unstoppable Finance with the aim to bring DeFi to the masses. And we launched a product called Ultimate.
Great, it sounds amazing. And
obviously, I think in Germany you're quite known in the ecosystem and thought leadership. So talking a little bit more about like the digital euro, from your perspective, what would you say, where do we stand right now? What are some key challenges? What's ahead of us?
So I think the digital euro, I think this is a really interesting topic, because I think almost everyone, especially also in the finance community, I would say, even like not only the blockchain but also like in the broader finance community, has an opinion on it. And I think there's really hundreds of opinions about it. And first of all, so when I hear digital euro and people talking about the digital euro, I already get a little bit angry, because from my point of view, there is not only the one digital euro. So there's already today kind of hundreds of digital euros, because there's e-money already, and there's like stable coins and different technical forms of money, and also different legal forms of money. And the digital euro, which is currently planned by ECB and the European Union, is kind of one additional one, so kind of with a specific feature set, for example, also the discussed offline functionality and being a real currency, like a real governmental currency. I think that definitely is something interesting, and from my perspective, kind of bringing like a new form of money to the table that per se, from my perspective, will find its own niche where it's going to be used. Because of course, like, people are familiar to their like fiat money and paying everything when they go to the restaurant with those cards, and probably many people will still do this in the future, but having the option to also have a digital euro wallet from ECB, kind of with the specific also feature of a real cash like money, that it's very stable in comparison to other forms of money, I think that definitely will also find its niche.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks a lot. When talking now here at the conference, what would you say is kind of the overall mood when it comes to the digital euro? Like, did you get some like insights, or like where you would say there were some tough discussions on it?
Well, I must admit that I so far didn't manage it into the lecture hall, because I was only talking to people the whole time.
That's what I saw, yeah.
What many people reflected was that in comparison to the last digital euro conference, there's definitely way more people here today, so which I think already shows that there's a much bigger interest in the whole topic, and also when you look at the lineup and the agenda, so it's about the digital euro, it's about stable coins, it's about deposit tokens, tokenized deposits, and all these different forms of money. And so I think this, so I at least get a really positive vibe from here, because almost anyone I talk to has different concepts and has a different goal in mind when working on their respective form of digital euro. And so therefore, I think it's quite cool to see that there are so many people working on different things and really trying to bring, especially also tokenized forms of money to really the mass users.
Thank you very much. I think that was great. So thanks, Peter. And hopefully you have a great day, and talk soon.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
So, hi, nice to meet you. Could you briefly introduce yourself? What are you doing here today at the DEC? Perhaps you can.
Yes. Hi, I'm Katharina Schreiner. I'm a Bitcoin enthusiast, and I'm also interested in this whole digital currencies topic. So that's why I'm here, first of all, to get more insights of the current developments of the process we are doing also with the digital euro, but also to speak to others who are as enthusiastic as I am.
Perfect, that sounds great. Are you looking forward to any like specific panel or discussion?
Nothing specific, but I actually like the smaller topics or the innovation forum a little bit more, because they are more on the details and on the bottom. So it's a mixture. There are many very interesting topics, and I'm just like picking the ones which I want to see.
That sounds amazing. Thank you very much, Katharina.
You're welcome.
Nice to see you again. It's been quite some time. We already know each other, but perhaps you can introduce yourself for the audience and the company you're working for.
Sure, thanks. I'm Varun Paul. I am the Senior Director for Central Bank Digital Currencies and FMIs at Fireblocks.
Mm-hmm.
I spent most of my career at the Bank of England, but at Fireblocks now I am taking the technology that Fireblocks has built to central banks and FMIs around the world. And at its heart, Fireblocks is a digital asset infrastructure technology provider, which means we provide the technology to secure people's assets, digital assets, and secure their private keys. Mm-hmm. Which spreads not just to custodying their own digital assets, but also providing payments and tokenization services and securing the way they do their tokenization. So right across the digital asset infrastructure space.
Perfect, thank you. What brings you on today to the conference? So what is it basically your kind of aim? I think you've been part of a panel already, but perhaps you can just briefly outline.
Yeah, sure. I was lucky enough to be part of a panel on tokenization in banking. But I think the conference has been really powerful because of the people it's brought together. And you've got a combination of regulators and central bankers, as well as banks, and kind of more crypto-native digital asset infrastructure providers as well. So it's a really good opportunity to hear the latest innovations and the stance for the traditional financial space. And so this is a nice way to see how things are moving forward in Europe. In particular, actually, things are moving now in Europe, and I think the ECB's recent issuance of tenders for the digital euro has really kind of accelerated the momentum a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Whereas previously, otherwise, a lot of people would have said around the world, Eurozone is being a bit slow on digital currencies. So I think that has helped pick up the momentum. And I think that's why there's a lot of people here today and there's some good, really good conversations.
Perfect. Okay, so talking about the digital euro a little bit more, can you perhaps tell us a little bit more of the perspective from Fireblocks? Like, how do you come across the digital euro and what terms of like you kind of support or...
Yeah. Yeah. In general, Fireblocks, our goal in the kind of central bank digital currency space is to be able to support central banks where possible, but also to work with the commercial banks. Because almost every jurisdiction around the world in their CBDC goals is planning on a two-tier system, which will involve intermediaries, whether they're banks or fintechs. And so where we've had success so far, it's been through supporting both the commercial banks and the central banks. Now, similar is possible in Europe, where we would look to support in any way we can with our technology. There are challenges, though, in Europe, and Europe has been very clear up front to say that this is a Eurocentric project. Mm-hmm. Its aim, I think explicitly now, is to say that they want to take control back from Visa and MasterCard. Mm-hmm. And so that presents a challenge, I think, for many in the industry. So one of the things we saw in the latest set of tenders is that it's very Euro-focused, Eurocentric. And I guess my concern with that is that I completely understand the logic. The challenge with it is that it may not benefit from all the best technologies out there. If there's innovation happening in other parts of the world, Europe has now closed itself off to that. And so that would be one of my biggest concerns with that approach. But I understand the purpose and the reason for going down this route.
Yeah, perfect. Another question in terms of the digital euro. I think as you are really like one of the experts here as well, you do see the key challenges, but what would you say is, especially here in Europe, could be one of the kind of main drivers to really push and so that this digital euro comes into or falls into place?
I think there is, let me say a few things. One, there's clearly a lot of momentum from the industry, whether that's the banking industry, the fintech industry, digital asset industry. And there are things happening all over the place, whether we've got big banks issuing stable coins under the MiCA regime and so on. And so MiCA has pushed people and encouraged people in Europe to innovate in a way that we haven't actually seen in the US. And then I think in support of that, it really helps that the central bank is having these conversations. The one thing that central bank is doing differently from the rest of the industry, central banks around the world are doing differently than the industry, is pushing on things like privacy and things like offline payments. And so actually these are two places where I think central banks around the world, including the ECB, is actually encouraging the industry to innovate further. Because offline payments just isn't a preoccupation in the digital asset space otherwise, but it's clearly critically important if you want to have a national infrastructure that works for all seasons. And so I can see that as a real driver of new innovation. And the other point to say is that regardless of any innovation we've seen in the digital asset industry around the world, what I have observed is that when the regulator or the central bank or the government moves in one direction, it really brings the rest of the industry together. I've seen that firsthand in Brazil and Australia. And I think, so for the same reason, when the ECB sets out its position, it at least gives clarity for the rest of the industry. And it says, this is where we're heading in this region, in this jurisdiction. And then people will innovate around that. And so if the requirement is that it has to be fully private, or it has to enable offline payments and so on, then that's what the industry will collaborate around. And so that's really positive. Just the clear intent and the clarity around the rules often is sufficient to help the industry move forward.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Varun. I think that was very, very insightful for us. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference and talk soon.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's EY FinTech and Beyond episode live from the Digital Euro Conference 2024. We were able to take a lot of impressions and new insights home with us. It's great to see how the Digital Euro Association has created a valuable conference on this important topic, where industry experts gather to discuss and exchange their ideas. A big thank you to all participants of this episode. We hope you have gained valuable insights with regards to the digital euro. The future promises exciting developments and innovations, and it's clear that the digital euro has a key role to play in this journey. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to learn more about the latest trends in the fintech and digitalization landscape, subscribe to our podcast, EY FinTech and Beyond. Stay tuned for continued insights into the future of finance and digitalization. Thank you for joining us, and see you in the next episode.
Das war FinTech and Beyond von EY, Financial Services Deutschland. Ihr seid herzlich eingeladen, mit uns die Inhalte des Podcasts zu gestalten. Meldet euch einfach unter der E-Mail-Adresse eyfintechandbeyond@de.ey.com mit Feedback, Vorschlägen oder sonstigen Anregungen.